Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. I am Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by my guest host at this time, Mr. Toru Masamune. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Great. How are you doing?
Good. Can you believe that this is November 1st that we're recording this episode?
Yeah.
We're like a month into the season now.
It was crazy, too, because I think I heard just something came on my, you know how like sometimes you go onto YouTube and you just want to look at something, you want to get caught up on something, right? And they had these recaps from week two, you know, and you're thinking, wow, that was so long. I mean, that just feels like an eternity ago. I said, wow, we're really deep into the season. It's very funny, I think, too, because especially, you know, and I'll throw the Oilers in that conversation is, the teams that are kind of in denial, like, okay, early, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The rocky start. Well, it's kind of past the starting period. So it's kind of a weird time. It's sort of, I don't know. You kind of know who your team is and you have to figure out. I mean, there's still plenty of time, but it's,
yeah.
We're into it.
And we're going to get to that point too, because usually around Thanksgiving, like American Thanksgiving, is when you kind of get an idea of where your team could potentially be, you know, this season, because at that point you've already played like 2 months, you played like maybe a third of your season at that point.
Yep.
So, you know, you mentioned the Oilers, that's your team, you're rocking the baseball cap.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There you go for the people watching on YouTube.
A very dangerous hat to wear around LA, but that's okay.
But right now it's very interesting looking at the Oilers, because currently they are tied for third place in the Pacific Division, but they're placed as fifth. And for anyone who's wondering, well, what do you mean they're tied for third, but they're placed in fifth? Well, the reason they're placed in fifth is because the Vancouver Canucks, which sit in the third spot in the division, they have only played 9 games. So they have 2 games in hand on the Oilers, who have played 11 games. Yeah. They are 4-2-3 for 11 points, and they have a winning percentage of 0.611. In fourth is the Calgary Flames, who has played 10 games, so 1 game in hand on the Oilers as well, and they're 5-4-1 for 11 points as well, and their winning percentage is 0.550. And then you have the Oilers and the Kraken, who are 5th and 6th respectively. Both have played 11 games, both share a 5-5-1 record for 11 points, and are an even 500. However, I believe the Oilers may hold a tiebreaker over the Kraken, which is why they're in fifth place over the Kraken at this time. So when I bring that up for the standings, yeah, your team has played 11 games.
Yep.
How are you feeling so far right now, before I hop into some stats on the players themselves?
That's a good way of putting it, how you feeling, because well, it was kind of weird because, you know, they start out terribly, and I remember once,
hey, because weren't they 0-5 to start, or something like that?
I think I won't. Yeah, it was really bad for a while, and I think Knobloch is like some post game thing, and they're saying they need to work on certain things. They actually were playing well. I mean, it was fun watching them, you know. They said, but they're saying they're trying to work on things like scoring goals and winning games. I think, oh yeah, those would be wise things to work on right now. And but it was kind of very true because you'd go and you'd see, you know, they're still the Oilers. They just couldn't get in the net for, and they still can't. And I don't know why, because they're getting shots and they're just not going in. And so I feel like there's a good team there. And of course, there are problems on defense now with all that stuff with Bobrovsky and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they're going to fix that. Apparently, you know, with the McDavid injury, they've acknowledged, okay, we got to fix the blue line, you know? And so there are things going on. And I look at it, but it's, and I'm so thank God we're doing this today and not 2 days ago or whenever, you know, before yesterday, because it's funny because I had to go up. Friend had a college friend had a big Halloween party over the weekend, so I just had to check out a hockey for a bit, and I was kind of thankfully so, because you know when you get that thing, and I really don't consider myself any sort of bandwagon fan. I don't, but man, when they just are losing, it just it's hard to. You just need to step back a little bit, you know, and you can't watch like every, you know, like I just didn't want to see them lose again. Anyway, I come back and they're 4-4 all of a sudden. Like, oh crap, when that happened, like, you know, I didn't realize I had missed that many games, you know, because I probably missed a couple games. You know, like they're so back to back. So I come back, I go, oh crap, and I'm like, oh, they're 4-4 now. And then then it's great. Let me tune back in. So I, whatever, I have the, you know, gone the elliptical, put on my iPad, put on my headphones. All right, great. Put on my ESPN Plus. Great. And I'm really psyched. And they're talking about, oh, Draisaitl just scored a goal in overtime. Because, yes, we're back. We're back. This is it. This is it. And we get on. And then I look on and freaking, you know, that whole thing with the Blue Jackets. And Connor McDavid goes down after 37 seconds. And they got walloped. And so that was really, I kind of thought, and then it comes out, you know, they're all, you know, when they're all saying, oh, we'll update you on the McDonough, you know, and they're saying, well, it's, I can't remember the equipment coach's name. He says, well, he's still on the bench, so clearly it's not an equipment issue and all this sort of stuff. And then you find out he's out for a couple of weeks. But
Yeah.
then I watched last night's game and I said, you know what, maybe this is good because it's still early and everybody had to step up. And play, they were. I don't know if you watch. I mean, I don't know if you saw any of the game. Man, those guys are
I mean,
flying.
I was at the Caps game, so
Oh yeah, you're at the Caps game.
I was probably en route home when the Oilers were playing last
Yeah,
night,
oh yeah,
so.
yeah. And they scored in the first 37 seconds, which is interesting because Connor McDavid got injured 37 seconds into the previous game. And I don't know. I've been trying to look it up, but I believe this. You know, they were going to get shut out, but they did score a goal just at the very last second. For some reason, I remember 37 seconds because I remember when they saying, oh, Connor McDavid, you know, got injured in 30 seconds. And I said, hold on. And I thought, so I'm trying to find out, is that actually when they scored that last goal? So I'm thinking there's some weird thing about 37, which is very weird if there are any
Before
numbers.
we hop into the McDavid injury, I do want to throw out some numbers to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is what the Oilers players' stats look like right now.
Ugh.
And it's going to be very interesting when
Yeah, I don't know if
you
I want to
see
hear
this.
this, but I'll listen.
So Draisaitl leads the team with 8 goals, 5 assists for 13 points. And he's
I
a
love it.
plus three.
Yeah, no, he's doing great. Yeah.
Yeah, McDavid in 10 games played, 3 goals, 7 assists, 10 points, plus four. He's a game, point per game player. Matthias Ekholm, a defenseman, is third with 2 goals, 7 assists, 9 points, plus three. And then it's Evan Bouchard, also a defenseman, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points at plus four. But
Yeah.
then this is where it starts to really dip. Jeff Skinner, 5 points. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Victor Arvidsson, Darnell Nurse, 4 points. Corey Perry, Brett Kulak, 3 points. This is the one that's really disappointing, but also is very weird at the same time. Zach Hyman,
I knew you were gonna say, yeah.
1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points, but is a plus six. So he's obviously doing something right to be a plus six player, but we're talking about a guy who was a 50 goal scorer last season, and he only has 1 goal so far in 11 games played. So it brings some questions out there. And then when you look at the goaltending, Stuart Skinner started 7 games, is 2-4-1 with a 3.51 goals against average and a 0.872 save percentage. Calvin Pickard has played 5 games, but has started 4. It's 3-1-0 with a 2.48 goals against average and a 0.897 save percentage. Now, granted, Picard's goals against average is much better than Skinner's, but the save percentages are not the most desirable when it comes to the goaltending. But one thing I got to ask is, is losing Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg to St. Louis via those offer sheets during the offseason, could that have had some minor or some kind of negative effect on the Oilers? Because those two guys are doing pretty good in St. Louis right now. So what are your thoughts when you hear these individual stats with the goaltending, the you mentioned it, Knobloch said, hey, you need to score goals and we need to win games. Obviously, the goals are not there outside of, Draisaitl, essentially, because no one else has more than 3 goals, because McDavid and Bouchard have 3 goals and it's two goal one, two, or zero for everyone else. So when you hear these stats, when you see how the team's performing, like, what are your thoughts with all this information?
It's interesting. I mean, that's always the big discussion, in oil country, is that was that a mistake? And then I guess, I guess there's Emberson, and I mean, they it's one of those things you almost think, if it's not McDavid or Draisaitl, you don't freak out too much. You say, well, they're good or whatever, blah blah blah. But the stats do kind of speak for themselves. So I would say that is generally the first complaint everybody has is, and I thought they'd keep one of them, quite frankly, but I don't know. It's all cap stuff,
And
and I'm hoping.
that's the funny part. You mentioned it's like, oh, we thought we would keep one of them because there was the trade that was done. It was, I believe, the Cody Ceci trade to San Jose. Everyone's like, oh, well, they're trading Ceci, so maybe they're gonna go keep, I think it was gonna be Broberg because he was the cheaper of the two offer sheets. And then they ended up not matching either.
Yep,
So it was
that was kind
very
of surprising. Yeah,
Stan
I
Bowman is
don't.
a very interesting general manager and probably somebody who probably shouldn't be a general manager, depending on how this season goes for the Oilers.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things is, as I was saying, I'm one of these, I kind of thought, well, hope, you like to think they know what they're doing. And maybe that's my first mistake, so I heard that, and I thought, maybe they know something I don't. I tend to think that just because I'm not a pundit, and they see these guys all the time, and what was going on, and they did replace them, but it just clearly, I mean, on whatever you want to say, I mean, it's like they're doing, those guys are doing well there. And, that could be a number of reasons too. It could have been just a better, that happens all the time, right? That people just go somewhere and they're just for some reason more comfortable there, and but they're definitely good players. They were definitely losses, but I don't know about these new guys. It's, I don't know that much about them. And, not, and I kind of thought, you still have your guys like Ekholm. I mean, you got some pretty good defensemen there. So,
I mean, when you
so I,
look at it this way, the new players that you got are Jeff Skinner, Victor Arvidsson, Vasily Pa.
Arvidsson scored last. Yeah, did you
Yeah,
know that?
he did. Vasily Podkolzin, I
Yeah.
believe he's one of the young kids that
Yeah,
they
he got
have.
he did you see that fight? Did you see anything?
No, I didn't.
Oh man, he
But I
you know
did
that
see Elliot Friedman saying like everyone's gonna know about this kid now, type
Oh
of
no,
deal.
he just no, you watch these fights and they kind of look okay. And sometimes I like seeing like young guys fight because they just don't give a crap. And it was just a full like boom, and the helmet went flying. I mean, it's very dramatic. I mean, it's a full on like direct hit, boom, and he got a second one in and took him down. And I don't even remember who Luzon, I think it was, comes up, and he's like his face was messed up. And I'm
Yeah.
thinking, and you know what? You know what? Another great stat is, I believe they had any time they've had a 5-minute fighting, they have not lost any of those games, I believe.
Yeah.
You can just look that up
I
for me, but
I've actually have seen two fights this season already, and I think you'll find it funny because you mentioned like these young guys, you know, doing a fight, you know, no worries. I was at Tom Wilson's first career NHL game, like when
yeah.
he was his rookie season, and it was the Caps home opener against the Calgary Flames, and he got into a fight and just whooped whoever he fought. I don't remember because Wilson's been in the league like over 10 years now at this point, so.
Right.
But I remember that. It's like, but yeah, but the other new defenseman that you guys got is Travis Dermott.
Yeah.
So it could also be a factor of like you have all these new pieces, and we'll talk about when we get to the Capitals in a later segment. You know, could it be that some of these pieces just aren't the right pieces because they're just not meshing well?
Yeah, I mean it a lot of that is the chemistry, and I don't know, I'm a pathological optimist. That's probably why I'm an actor. You know, I mean I just think that's the way I look at it, and I'm thinking, okay, well, and again, this is that weird denial part, because it's not really that we're just on the edge. Is it really the beginning of the season? Is the warming up period, or is the catching up period, is that not an issue anymore? And so I'm thinking, you know, new people playing together always is something, you know. I mean, especially when you're not dealing with like super superstars, right? I mean, you know, it's really how are they meshing into the system? And so is that, you know, this is me being sort of the pathological optimist. I'm thinking, well, maybe that's all it is. They just got to get used to each other, because, you know, and they just got to figure out what works. Knobloch has to get to know how he can best use them, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. But I got to say, it doesn't feel great right now. You know, I mean, but you know, they look good, and I'm thinking maybe that was the wake up call. Does that sound weird? You know, that
I
the
mean,
McDavid thing.
well, and you bring up McDavid. We'll touch base on McDavid super quick with the injury. So, for those who don't know, Connor McDavid is out with an ankle injury and is slated to miss 2 to 3 weeks, which is a good hunk of, I mean, obviously the last week of October and a good hunk of November. And I want to literally take this as a way to hop over into November because obviously the first matchup for the Oilers is on Sunday, November 3rd, in a Battle of Alberta matchup with the Calgary Flames. We're getting our
Yeah,
second Battle of Alberta already, man. It's
yeah, and
crazy.
I think one thing that's good now is, you know, Calgary got off to that crazy start, so I feel like this is what's
You're
happening.
kind of getting into that little bit of a plateauing thing.
They're
But
going down in Edmonton. Hopefully, something good happened last night, and then I'm thinking maybe they'll
And
pick
it's
up.
a critical game too, and not just this game, but the game that's going to be next Saturday, the 9th, which is in Vancouver, because these are divisional opponents. These are teams that you are tied with in for this spot in the third spot in your division right now. You need these points against your division.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because when you get later on in the season and you're making that push for the playoffs, these games now in October, November are going to come back to either help you or bite you.
Yep,
You know,
definitely.
but you're also taking on the New Jersey Devils this month. You're actually also take on the Islanders and the Rangers this month. Islanders are the bottom feeders of the Metro, but we'll talk about that later. Devils are the top team in the Metro Division right now. You got Vegas, Toronto, Nashville, Montreal, Ottawa, Minnesota, Utah, and Colorado as well this month. So when you look at these opponents, I mean, at least two of these games, which is the Islanders and Montreal, those are the games that you got to win. Those are the games that the Oilers need to win. You know, so looking at the schedule, and I'll give it in order. It goes Cal at Calgary, home against New Jersey, home against Vegas, at Vancouver, home against the Islanders, home against the Predators, at Toronto, at Montreal, at Ottawa, home against Minnesota, home against the Rangers, And then they get like 5 days off at Utah, at Colorado, and that's how they end the month of November. When you look at that, how are you feeling, and what is your expectation out of the Oilers for the month of November, looking at that schedule?
Well, I think the next few games are kind of critical for that because, I don't know. I try to remind myself that even last, I mean, Oilers are, it's a funny thing. They just grind their way through, and it's somehow, I don't know, like they go up and down, and every game seems to be a challenge on some level. So, I'm going to say, well, I'll put it this way. You say they have to win those games. I think they just have to get on a winning record right now because they can't be this sort of, 50-50 team anymore. I mean, they have to, and I think hopefully last night they figured out that, if we work together, I think there is a bit of that, the just standing on McDavid's shoulders and stuff like that. I mean, there is a bit of that, or now the players are getting more ice time, right? And also Draisaitl gets to sort of, he's carrying the team right now. So all these things, I'm feeling like if we can take this and they can survive with a winning record through, through the McDavid injury, I think that's going to be huge. And then all of a sudden, they can just get their stride. I think the Calgary, I think Sunday's game, aside from all this being fun,
I love Battle of Alberta. I love watching those games so much.
although I kind of miss, what's his name, Kachuk being in there because everybody hated him so much. But they're great, and it is one of those things that, Calgary's doing has got to an unusually good start, and Edmonton got to an unusually bad one. So there's the mentality, I think, will be.
Well, if I also remember right, didn't Edmonton get off to a rough start last season too?
Oh yeah, no, they're terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to. Maybe you can check the stats on this. Are they better off than they were last year? Because no, well, I tell you, this is what happened, and this is my life as an Oilers fan. Is I go and I, for those people who don't know, I grew up in Edmonton, so it's not like, I like them. Well, I like them, but it's deeper than that.
I like them, but I like them,
Yeah, but I mean, like in other words. As a team, but there's kind of deeper stuff, to me.
Yeah.
Also, it's a Canadian team. I'm not a Canadian citizen, but I did grow up in Edmonton. And so I always, I don't know. Like, I remember last year, I mean, that's when they fired what's his name, and brought in
Oh,
Knobloch.
Woodward or whatever his
Woodward,
name was, yeah.
and
Or
then they won
Woodcroft.
16. Yeah, Woodcroft. And
Yeah.
then they won 16 straight. So this is so typical. And sometimes, and I try to hang in there. And how I was saying, it's always a challenge trying to, you want to watch as much hockey as you can, but there, you got to take care of your life. And and it's actually very funny because, I do sword stuff, and I sort of think in terms of my casting, and I was like, maybe I should be working on that rather than my hockey. I mean, I think, like I'm thinking, there's this thing, and I'm, this sort of, I'm thinking that's actually really smart for me to be working on my sword skills, and I love it. But man, I will go to that rink in a second, and I'm thinking, But anyway, but that being said, you try to do that. So sometimes when they just are disappointing game after game, and they don't look good, that's the thing. I don't mind, or something. It's been weird this year because they have looked good. Their puck movement last night was phenomenal. I mean, it looked great. They're fast. They're energetic. It's wonderful. So when I see that, but sometimes I just think, and it is that thing. It's like, why aren't they scoring goals? It was very nice to see Zach Hyman score, but a lot of it is, I don't know, like his first time he didn't go into his backhand. He just like top shelf, and he just picked the corner. And I thought, yeah, they just got to start shooting. I don't even know what it is. I mean,
Yeah.
shooting and not right at the goalie
Yeah,
is what they got to do.
it's sometimes it's like, and I'll talk about this when we get to the Caps in a moment, but you got to be a little selfish.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's, so anyway, so I'm, so last year, I guess that was my long way of saying last year at the beginning, it was just so like discouraging because last year, same thing. Everybody said, wow, we got a team. And I think it was worse. So I'd have to check the stats on it, but I mean, it was really bad. And
So, we'll take a look at that. So, Toro, with everything said, just give us a quick thought. October's done. We're now in November. How are you feeling? Just super quick.
Basically, I think they're a great team. The pieces are there, and I think this month is critical, and it starts on Sunday, and but that's all the way it's always been. I probably for you, every fan, and I don't know. It just goes back and forth, and again, it's just like last year in many ways to me. And and then next time I looked up, they were winning 16 games straight. And then, so I'm hoping Lightning strikes twice again. But I think they're good. Whatever, Broberg, those guys are gone. They're gone.
Got to
So
move on.
move on. And I watched them last night. Granted, it's the Predators, and they seem to own the Predators. Especially Draisaitl.
And Predators are down at the bottom of their division. They're 3-6-1 in 10 games played, so.
So that being said, everything just play that way. Keep playing that way. Everybody, and maybe this will be good, and they maybe they'll maybe this will be good for them without Connor McDavid for a while. And maybe, once they get in when they're good, they're hard to beat.
So with that, we're now going to shift over to the Eastern Conference, particularly the Metropolitan Division. Going to talk about my Capitals now. So looking at the standings in the Metro right now, the Devils are first place at 7-4-2 with 16 points. But here's the funny part, and I want you to remember this note. They have a winning percentage of 0.615. All right.
Okay.
Tied for second place in the division is the Washington Capitals and the Carolina Hurricanes. They are both
Yes.
7-2-0 with 14 points, and they both have a winning percentage of 0.778.
Yeah.
Capitals are above the Hurricanes because I think the Capitals have one of the tiebreakers in hand on the Canes. Fourth place is the Rangers at 6-2-1 with 13 points, and they have a winning percentage of 0.722, so also better than the Devils. In that perspective, and then you have Columbus, who's actually playing very respectable right now. They're 5-3-1,
Yeah.
and they have 11 points. They have a winning percentage of 0.611, and then there's a dip. Although hilariously, when you look at the dip isn't on the point side. The dip is on the winning percentage side. The Flyers are in six. We have 4-6-1, 0.409 percentage. Pittsburgh Penguins are 4-7-1. 9 points, 0.375 winning percentage, and then the Islanders at the bottom of the barrel at 3-5-2 with 8 points and a 400 winning percentage. And it should be noted that the Islanders are probably the one team that is exactly where they're supposed to be, because on paper that team is bad, and they just and unfortunately for them, they did lose Anthony Duclair due to injury for a few months. They signed Matt Martin off of the PTO that he had been on. So one way, I mean, yeah, Duclair was an upgrade for speed and some skill. And then they signed Matt Martin, who is, I don't know why, I mean, outside Lou Lamoriello, not who should not be a general manager anymore in the NHL, just signing guys who just can't play anymore. Let's just be realistic here. But as I mentioned, the Caps are 7-2-0. I was at five of those wins and one of those losses,
Have fun though.
which you can see on the website because I am doing a little like blog type thing of called Mike's Season Ticket Holder Experience, where I am posting the pictures and videos and giving my thoughts on the games, because I do take a lot of pictures. For today's that came out for the game against the Montreal Canadiens last night, I actually took pictures of the actual game and not just pregame warm-up like I always do. So I will try to do that as long as my phone battery lets me, because I still got to take the Metro home and my card is on that. But yeah, so it's really interesting. And Toro, I know you and I were talking like when it comes to the Oilers, they got some new guys in the lineup. And it seems like they're kind of not meshing a little bit. Skinner's not really producing much. Arvidsson has just produced a little bit. Whereas with the Washington Capitals, we got Pierre-Luc Dubois, Jacob Chychrun, Taylor Radish, Jacob Vrana, Andrew Mangiapane, Brandon Duhaime, and Matt Roy, and Logan Thompson. And when I look at the stats of the Capitals, Dylan Strome leads the team in points with 3 goals, 10 assists, and 13 points, and is a +7. Ovechkin in 9 games, and we'll talk more about Ovechkin in a little bit because there's some stuff to be talking about Ovechkin in a bit. 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points, +5. Connor McMichael, one of the young guys who's on a bridge deal right now, 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points, +8. And then, there's not a like, a, I mean, it casually goes down a little bit, but I want to harp on at least Pierre-Luc Dubois, 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points is a +1. Chychrun had, before he got injured in eight games, he had 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points, which was +5. Taylor Radish has 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points. Matt Roy unfortunately got injured in the very first game, so we haven't seen him play since the first game. And then when you look at our goaltending, Charlie Lindgren in 5 starts is 3-2-0 with a 2.62 goals against average and a 0.882 save percentage. Logan Thompson, 4 games started, 4-0-0, 3.21 goals against average and a 0.876 save percentage. Obviously, Charlie has the better goals against average and save percentage, but Logan Thompson hasn't lost a game yet. Kind of how it works sometimes, but it feels like a lot of these guys that have come into the Capitals, and one guy who, and we talked about this thoroughly in our first episode, was about Pierre-Luc Dubois and the nervousness around him. And I can say this, watching him play in person for 6 games, him with Tom Wilson, who has 6 goals and 2 assists for 8 points, might I add, and Connor McMichael, those three guys clicked instantly in the preseason, and it has carried over very well into the regular season so far. And, I'm impressed with what I'm seeing with Dubois. If I'm Spencer Carberry, I am not putting Jacob Chychrun back with John Carlson, because they're the same type of defenseman, and we need Chychrun to be with a stay-at-home defenseman who will clean things up a bit more. Same thing with Carlson. I'm liking Taylor Radish with Brandon Duhaime and Nick Dowd. They've actually become a very good energy line for the Capitals. Like, they've meshed very well. Some questions for, I mean, I would technically say Radish, Dowd, and Duhaime is really our third line at this point. Because our fourth line is Jacob Vrana, and then I know we had Michael Scarbosa is in there now as the center, and then we've had Hendrix LaPierre in there as center, along with Andrew Mangiapane. And outside of Mangiapane, who I've always liked, that line has struggled a bit. That's like the only line that's struggled, but it hasn't come back to bite the Caps, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, it's a very fun and interesting time to be a Caps fan.
Absolutely. No, you guys are doing well. I mean, and it's gotta be fun to just be there while this is happening.
As I mentioned, it's my first season as a season ticket holder. So I literally have been to every Caps home game
Right? Yeah,
so
that's
far this
crazy.
season. I don't know how much longer I can keep this streak going,
Yeah.
but we'll see. I know I'll be at the game tomorrow. Obviously, we're recording this on Friday, November 1st at night
Who
on
did you
the
play
East Coast.
tonight?
We got Columbus, and then
Oh.
we have Carolina on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So we have a back-to-back for
Wow.
us. And but like, I know I'll be at the games next week against Nashville and Pittsburgh. You might see me on the podcast wearing a Screaming Eagle cowboy hat.
Nice.
if I can get my headphones to work with it. But like, yeah, I'm gonna see how long I can keep the streak going, of how many games I can go to, because it can be tough, especially like for this instance, this week it's 3 games in 1 week.
Oh no.
So, and then next week
Time
it's 2 games
intensive.
in 1 week, and then the following week it's 1 game, and then it's 2 games, and then it's 1 game again, and then it's and then actually then I actually have a stretch where it's just a game a week for like 5 straight weeks, which I will happily take. So, and then I know they have it bunched up a little bit in January, where it's a actually no, it's a 3-2-2, and then they're on the road for 2 weeks. So it's like, okay, I get a reprieve for 2 weeks.
That's right. Road games. Yeah, there are road games. So you will get a little reprieve.
Yeah, so they're but it's nice to have like a 5-game road stand or road trip, so that's like 2 weeks, but
What do you think about the fans who like travel with teams? I mean, would you ever do
yeah,
that?
it's actually funny that you mentioned that. So the first game for the Caps, and let me pull up the schedule real quick. So the first game for the Capitals, we hosted the New Jersey Devils. And the interesting thing about our division is this, as I pull up the standings more. The Devils, Rangers, Flyers, Penguins, and Islander fans. Those five teams travel very well when it comes to the divisional games and stuff like that, or even games in general that may not even be in the division. Whereas Carolina, Columbus, they don't really do a lot. I don't see a lot of their fans at games and stuff like that. I mean, I'll probably see tomorrow because it is a Saturday. It is a 5 p.m. Eastern start time. So there's a better chance of maybe seeing some Columbus Blue Jackets fans travel for the team. But like when we played the Devils, that was a Saturday. So I fully expected that to be a lot of Devils fans for that
How
game.
much of that do you think just folks that are actually expats that are living in
No,
this?
they
They're
literally
traveling.
travel. Yeah, they literally travel. Interestingly, our next two home games were like Vegas and Dallas, and they actually had a lot of fans. At Capital One Arena, it was very interesting. The Flyers game, and that was a Tuesday, Thursday too, I should add. And then we hosted the Flyers on a Wednesday, and the Flyer fans traveled really well for that game. Like I had an entire row of Flyer fans sitting right behind me.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And shout out to those people, Tim and Mandy specifically. Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having a good time and not giving us too much crap. And then yeah, Ranger fans on Tuesday, this past Tuesday night, there was a lot of Ranger fans for a Tuesday night that traveled for the game.
I was
And
wondering.
then actually we played the Canadians last night, and there was a decent amount of Canadians fans at that game as well. So it's kind of interesting. I think when you look at it from an
National too,
e
that's crazy.
yeah, well, I also think what it also is that when you're in the Eastern Conference, the teams are a lot closer together in proximity compared to the Western Conference. The teams in the West are a little bit more farther apart from
Yeah,
each
that's true.
other.
That's a good point, isn't it? It's a good point. So
So
it's actually
like,
a little more time intensive and even psychologically, right?
yeah, I mean, look at it. Like if the Kings are playing the Blackhawks in Chicago, it's like you got to travel up. You lose like 2 hours or something like that, or an hour. And then vice versa for like say Chicago when they travel out to LA or San Jose or whatever, that time zone difference and stuff like that. Whereas like the Capitals, they only have to go out there like once. Like I know this month they do a mini road trip to Colorado, Vegas, and Utah. So like they're knocking out a couple of those teams right there because those three teams are relatively kind of close to each other. So that makes that road trip make sense when they come out for Seattle, LA, Anaheim, San Jose. That's one trip because of the proximity is a lot easier on the Eastern Conference teams to do that type of trip. Same when we do the Western Canada trip. It's always, they always get those guys bunched in there as well.
And
So,
then there are those games in Finland.
yeah. Oh, you mean like what's going on right now? By the way, for the record, the Florida Panthers defeated the Dallas Stars 6-4 in the first game of the Global Series in Tampere, Finland. And game two will be at 12 p.m. Eastern time today when you're watching slash listening to this, because we're releasing it on November 2nd. How ironic that we record both of our episodes so far when the global series is happening.
I know. It is funny. I thought about that today. It's like, oh, maybe we're worldly men. We are.
Yes, we are. But one of the interesting things is, going back to the Capitals is that, it kind of tells you what type of coach the Capitals have in Spencer Carberry. Like, he resurrected Anthony Mantha, who's now with Calgary, for us to get some trade value for the guy. He's been working wonders with Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's been utilizing Pierre-Luc Dubois to his strengths and putting him with guys that will hide his weaknesses, which I think has ex really excelled with Dubois. And then when Dubois scored his first goal, granted it was an empty netter, but if you ever look at the Capitals social media after games and particularly wins, they always show a video of Carberry in the locker room with the players and how, he, like, if somebody gets their first career like point as a Capital or a goal as a Capital or whatever, like, he gives them he presents them the puck himself, and like you see him present Dubois with his first puck goal puck as a Capital, or first goal as a Capital puck, and you just see the love that Dubois has in that locker room, and the appreciation that he has for the coach and the guys on the team and stuff like that. And I think, and we heard that he was well liked with all the other teams. It was just not the right fit for his style of game and stuff like that, or whatever.
And that happens,
Yeah.
and I mean, right? It's weird. You don't, and I don't even know what that is. I mean, it really is just a weird, bizarre chemistry thing. Is sometimes you throw two people on, and they may not even know that before, and there's no way you could tell on paper, but they just, they connect a pass and go, and then all of a sudden, it's all working. It's
Yeah.
weird, right?
Yeah,
It's weird.
it's really weird, but at the same time, it's like, I'm kind of, it like I am happy that the Caps are getting the wins right now, because if you want to get the points, like I said when we were talking about the Oilers, you want to get those points now, so that way if you slump later, the points you got in the beginning of the season are going to come in to help you out a bit. Whereas if, like, you're kind of like the Oilers right now and you're kind of losing some of these games that you really should be winning,
Well,
those games are going to come back to bite you.
you can't, certainly can't count on winning 16 games straight every
Oh
year,
yeah,
right?
you can't. And but I'm kind of waiting for that slump to come,
Or
because
for
for the
Caps.
Caps, yeah. Because you need them to have a slump. You need them to face adversity, because we've seen this with the Capitals before in the past, especially those Bruce Boudreau coached Caps. Like, when it was the Rock the Red era, the young guns like Ovi and Backstrom and Mike Green and, Alexander Semin, when we had those guys, during that era of the young guns, they would just run roughshod in the regular season, not really face any adversity, and then first round exit. And so, and it's kind of the
You're
thing. It's like,
100% correct. You're
and
100%.
I don't want to see that for this team. It's like, yeah, do I want to see them do very well during the regular season? Yes. Do I want them to win the President's Trophy? Hell no. No President's Trophy, please. We've seen that what that's done to the Capitals. But I need them to face adversity this season. And as I look at the schedule, Columbus, as I mentioned, is a respectable team. But I see the Capitals maybe picking up the W against Columbus. Then we get Carolina on Sunday. That's another game that can go either way between Carolina and the Caps on Sunday. That's, so it'll be very interesting to see how that game comes about. Then we have Nashville, which I'll be at that game. Nashville's struggling right now.
Yeah, I
And
don't know.
when you look at that game on paper, that's a game that you look at and go, that's a game you got to win. They're at the bottom of their division. You got to beat this team.
Absolutely,
And then
absolutely.
same thing with the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is a team that's at the bottom of your division. Just like with Columbus and Carolina, it's a divisional rival. those are 2 points that you need to pick up because that's someone in your division. And that will help you because if you go in a slump and then they start winning, well, because you beat them, you got those games in hand, you got those points in hand that, you know, because they act like 4 points instead of 2 points sometimes.
Exactly.
Then the Caps are on the road in St. Louis.
Excuse me.
No, you're good. And then a little bit of a break. Then they're at home against Toronto. They're taking on the Maple Leafs. St. Louis, Toronto, those are games that could go either way. Then they go on the road for that little mini trip I was telling you about, the Colorado, Vegas, and Utah. Interestingly, when they play Vegas, that will be the end of their series with Vegas this season. But yeah, those are three games that can go either way because Colorado, I think they're struggling just a little bit. Let me pull it up. Colorado's like middle of the
Yeah, they
pack,
are.
but they're right in
Right.
there though. Like when you look at Utah, Utah is 5-4-2. Colorado is 5-6-0. And obviously, when we get to the point when they actually face off of each other, those records could be different. But also, Colorado is dealing with a lot of injuries. They're missing six of their forwards due to injury right now. So, like, that's a banged up team. So, that's a team that you also should probably go in and try to take advantage of if they're still not healthy come that point. But it becomes interesting because after they do this little three-game road stand or road trip to Colorado, Vegas, and Utah, they then host the Colorado Avalanche on November 21st, thus ending their season series with the Avalanche. And then on the Saturday, the 23rd, they host the New Jersey Devils. That could go either way. Obviously, we have already split the series with them so far. We both won a game. And it's been the road team that's won. So,
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
yeah. Then they go on the road to face the Panthers and the Lightning. For the Panthers and the Lightning, they're both top of their division right now. The Panthers are 8-3-1, and the Lightning are 7-3-0. So those are games that's like, you know, when the Capitals go to face the Panthers and the Lightning later this month, I won't be upset if they lose those games. Because those are two really good teams. And we've already lost to Tampa once. We got shut out 3-0 because once Andrei Vasilevskiy makes those saves early on, those really good ones, he becomes a brick wall. And that's the big reason why Tampa won that game. So like those are games that I'm not upset if we lose, like, because they are top-tier teams. Then we get the New York Islanders on Black Friday. I will be at that game because that is my tradition. And that's a game, like, you know, again, divisional opponent, you got to win the game. Plus, on, you know, when you look at the Islanders as a team, that's a team that you should be beating anyways. They're an older team, they're a slower team. You know, that's a team you need to beat. And
Yeah,
then
you're not going to lose to them.
we better not. You know,
I
and
mean, you
then.
never know. You
Yeah,
never
you
know.
never know. You better not.
But
It's funny. You beat the teams you're supposed to lose to, and then you lose to the teams you're supposed to beat.
well, they all say that, you know, and it makes sense, right? Sometimes you drop down to the level and then you just take your foot off the gas and then you're, you know, and then you're behind and you're trying to, you know, so I can see that if you can learn not to fall down to the level of the team you're playing. So
You
maybe
want
I'll
to
do
go in there and you want to just put the pedal to the metal right off the bat
that. Yeah,
on
like
those teams.
you want to kill them, you know, like 60 minutes straight and just like pummel them, you know, that's what you want.
And then on November 30th, to end the month of de November, I was about to say December for a second. We're not even close to that yet. The Capitals actually end their regular season series with the Devils. So we're already done with one of our divisional opponents 2 months into the season.
That's crazy. Wow.
It is crazy. So, you know, so we have for the Capitals, I think for the Oilers, they had like what two divisional games for the month of November. The Capitals
Well,
have three, four, five. The Capitals have six games against their own division this month.
amazing. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you're when you start bringing up and, you know, this Sunday, blah, 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 it's funny how it is such a different animal, a divisional opponent, you know, and you realize because all of a sudden it's funny because I haven't been thinking that way, but you realize these are really important games, I mean,
Even
not
this
just
early in the season.
and so everything, right? And it leads all the way down to the playoffs, home ice advantage, all that kind of stuff, and so, but it is interesting how if you guys have just been doing a lot of divisional posts, those are kind of fun too. There's something fun. I mean, Golden Knights, I mean, I'm looking forward to the, I mean, there's kind of something really fun about the divisional
Oh, yeah.
folks, that it's a, well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, is that they become must wins. And it's funny that you guys are, you're probably a little more used to it, but I'm sort of like, yeah, I haven't really been thinking that way. 'Cause now it's actually good talking to you. It's all great talking to you,
I
to
mean,
start.
think of it like as a hockey player, because you play the beer league, I play ball hockey. When you look at, the division that you play in, you always view all those games as important games, especially when the playoffs are on the line. Because you want to make sure that you try to get maybe some of those tiebreakers on some of those teams and stuff like that when you get closer to the playoffs. So, I've always looked at it that way just because of the competitive style as a player myself. And but then also when you watch as much as I do and you listen to all these insiders as much as I do, you start thinking like that a lot more and stuff like that. So it's
More strategic.
yeah, you look at the strategy about it, but and that's why I say I hope the Capitals hit like a slump here or there because they need that adversity,
Well, isn't that funny that that's why, I don't get too, I don't know, maybe, that was Edmonton, maybe that's their thing. They'll hit, they like to hit that adversity. You get it out of the way right away. But
Yeah, we're gonna lose all these games to start the season. Then we're
we
just gonna
might.
like run roughshod the rest of the way.
We're going for the cup. We're gonna, so we're just, we need to practice adversity. But so true, right? Because I think that the everything really, it's, I mean, the league is so evenly matched and the skill level is so high. I mean, there's some bad teams, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're just one some bad teams, but it's the classic. You have to remember they're all NHL players and NHL teams and NHL coaches, and the people that win are the people that really want it. And it's hard to really want something if you don't have adversity. I don't, it's human nature, and I don't know. And I think it's just too hard to win otherwise unless you have that edge going into and having something to prove. You have to have that. And if you're not going to do it, it's not an intellectual or, you have to feel it. And it has to feel like, oh, we're not as good as we thought we were. I really think it's important, because then if you're that guy that has something to prove, you all of a sudden could become unbeatable. You got to time it. You don't want
Yeah.
to do that and
And
let
one
you
of the
get.
interesting things is that there are still a lot of pundits that are still picking the Penguins and the Islanders to make the playoffs and the Capitals to
Really?
miss. Yes. They still think that the Islanders and the Penguins will make the playoffs over the Capitals, and which I find hilarious because when you look at the teams on paper, it's like Pittsburgh didn't get younger. They,
Yeah, where's that
you
coming
know,
from? I don't get
it's
it.
like all like the hockey news and a
No,
lot.
coming. I mean, I'm just trying to think, is it because of the, no, that's weird. I'm trying to figure
Yeah,
out how
it.
we come up with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it either, and how they do that. But the thing is, though, and I find this really interesting is the fact that when you look and we'll get some of those tests later this month, or actually right away with the Caps and the Penguins, we'll see those two teams, literally this upcoming week, and then later in the month we'll be seeing the Caps and the Islanders, and like that could be your barometer for now of
Well,
who the real playoff team is. But the other thing is that, like, and I wanted to touch base on this, after we had recorded the first episode, obviously this is our second one, I went to Capitals 50 Fest and they did some programming. And one of the things that they did was they brought back some of the players. I mean, they brought back like 70 plus alumni, and I met like two of them.
oh, really? Oh.
I got my gripes about how that was done with the alumni because I was so excited to meet the alumni and met two of them. But one of the panels was it was Brooks Orpik. It was Brooks Orpik, Braden Holtby, TJ Oshie, Nicklas Backstrom, I think it was Tom Wilson, John Carlson, and Alexander Ovechkin. They're talking about the 2018 Cup run. And one of the biggest things that they said was is that A, we were playing for each other and we were playing more free. You
Yes,
know,
yes, yes.
and I think it's because they had faced so much adversity in the playoffs, and it's like we need to change our mentality,
Yes,
you know,
yes.
and stuff like that. And I think that, you know, when you face adversity throughout the season, it helps you register that in your brain a little bit more of changing your mindset when you go into the playoffs,
Yeah, and
which is
it's not
why
even
I.
like, and it's not even from a, this is what I should do. It's sort of like, it becomes a deeper thing. You know, you change because you have to, you know, and that's different from saying this.
And I'm hoping that, you know, for like the, you know, these new guys, you know, who have, you know, I think Dubois has been in the playoffs. I think he has with Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mangiapane has been in the playoffs with Calgary. I don't think Radish has ever been to the playoffs. He might have. I think he was originally with Tampa Bay, so he might have played with Tampa in the playoffs a couple times. I don't know. I have to go back and look. But like guys like Chychrun who haven't really played in the playoffs before, I think Duhaime has played in the playoffs because we got him from Colorado and Colorado was in the playoffs last year, you know. So maybe some of these guys who don't have as much experience, that's where guys like Ovechkin and Tom Wilson and these others are going to come in and kind of be like, hey, we've been there. Well, you know, Logan Thompson just won a cup with Vegas, so. But yeah, but you know, I want to transition real quick to Ovechkin because there's a couple other things we want to talk about. But man, 5 goals in 9 games. Do what he's on pace for?
Oh, yeah.
46 goals.
46, huh?
So originally going into last night's game against the Canadiens, he had 4 goals in 8 games, and he was on pace for 41 goals. Do you know what 41 goals this season would have done for him? He would have tied Gretzky with
41.
41 goals.
Nice.
Because remember, the magic number going into the season was 42.
Yeah.
So 46 is what he's on pace for. Do you know what 46 gives him? 899 goals.
Wow.
One shy of becoming the first ever and only player to reach 900 goals.
Oh, yeah, that'd be sweet. You want to know something?
I am still rooting for Ovechkin to hit 50 this season because I want him to pass Gretzky.
Well, yes.
I want him to hit 900, and I want him to take sole possession of first place of most 50 goal seasons by a player.
Oh, nice. Well, you know what I thought was really interesting? Remember I was saying there was that weird thing about Connor McDavid was injured 37 seconds into the game, and then they scored that wasn't Draisaitl, Arvidsson scored 37 seconds at the beginning. I remember there's some other 37. I thought it was the last goal they scored to destroy the shutout. But I looked it up. It was actually 28 seconds into, but 37. What other number did that come up that night? 37. It came up again.
Oh man. I know that's
37.
Olaf Kolzig's number.
How many shy he was of? I'm guessing that was probably Gretzky. Does that
Oh
sound
yeah,
right?
because yeah, because right now he's at 858, so I believe he's 37 away
Yeah.
from.
So I remember hearing that again, and because I was getting confused, I happened to hear 37 all night, but that's the other place. I thought it was that last goal, but that's what the other place is. They say, because I just heard that number, but that was an interesting.
And it's so funny because Ovechkin's not even focusing on it. Like, he's not focusing on the goal scoring. He's focusing on trying to win games. He's focusing on winning another Stanley Cup because he wants another cup before he retires.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
And
Absolutely.
I don't blame Ovechkin for having that mentality. But what I would say is this, is that, you know, please keep scoring. I am rooting for you to get 50.
Yeah.
Because I also, and I think I mentioned this on the last episode too, is that I want Ovi to break the record now this season. I want him to hit 900 this season, and I want him to hit the 50 goal plateau one last time this season because I want him to take next season, which is the last year of his contract. I want him to take next season and make that his true swan song.
But I think there's something, just if he's a few goals shy or whatever. I mean, there's something really elegant about if it happens just at the end. I mean, what a season, you know what I mean? So I'm with you. I think that would be really fun if he just got it this year. And you know, it's funny too because, you know, even the Gretzky thing, Pat, you know, it's one of those things that, and I bet if you talk to Gretzky, he would say this thing, you know, I've had it long enough. Someone break this, please,
Oh
you
no,
know?
Gretzky is fully in Ovechkin's corner. Like he is cheering Ovechkin
Yeah,
on.
because you think about, I mean, you and I can't relate to it because, you know, we're not Gretzky, but I'm thinking
We're just beer
we're beer leaguers.
leaguers.
But you kind of think from his perspective, like it's almost like your perspective changes because he's probably had it so long, and it's sort of, I don't know, at some point you think, I want to be able to,
Pass it on. And
yeah, you want to
here's
pass
the
it on.
thing. If Ovechkin, say by the time we get to the All-Star break, Ovi's around 30 goals, don't be surprised that Gretzky, you know, when he gets like the 35, 36,
Be sh shown up.
Gretzky starts traveling around with the
Traveling with the team.
team because Gretzky has made it known, and this is how we're going to end this segment here. Gretzky has made it known that he is going to do the same thing that Gordie Howe did for him.
Nice. Nice.
When Gretzky passed Gordie Howe was at that game, went up to Gretzky and congratulated him and passed the, and essentially, quote unquote, passed the torch on to him in a way. Same
Nice.
thing
Yeah,
will happen when Ovechkin will pass Gretzky. Gretzky
and
will
that's
be
maybe,
there to do it.
and maybe that's part of the joy because, you know, it's not like it happened the next year. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, later they're like, oh man, I love. It's like he's had to deal with this for a long time, and
Yeah.
now, right? Like maybe it's a hassle. Maybe it's a hassle because everybody asks him about a con. You know, maybe it's a
Yeah.
hassle to be that guy. I don't know,
Yeah.
but
So,
anyway, but I think he's also kind of he's a class act too. So
yeah.
I think that'll be great. And I wouldn't that be great?
And I will say this, I
Yeah.
will be going to every Cavs game when that starts happening with
Yeah.
a few, well, with a Wayne Gretzky card of him with LA, Edmonton, St. Louis, and the Rangers. So if I run into him, I can get him to sign all four cards for
There
my
you go.
personal collection. So I could say I met Wayne Gretzky and I got him to sign these hockey
Yeah, but
cards.
imagine what an amazing night of hockey that'll be.
Yeah.
If you know. So yeah, don't
Yeah.
miss it. Don't miss it.
Don't,
Yeah.
better happen this season. Alrighty, so we've talked about Oilers, we talked about Caps. Now, it is time to talk about the Professional Women's Hockey League, the
Yeah.
PWHL. The season does not start until November 30th, but I wanted to talk a little bit about it real quick. Kind of get everyone used to the fact that I will be talking about women's hockey on the podcast, as I am press credentialed with the league. So starting off back in September, they finally announced the names of all six teams. As everyone remembers, the season before for the inaugural season, all the teams were called PWHL and then insert city name here. So it was like PWHL Boston, PWHL New York, or if you looked at how I did the coverage, I just called them New York, Boston, whatever. So the team names are Boston Fleet, Minnesota Frost, Montreal Victory, New York Sirens, Ottawa Charge, and the Toronto Scepters.
Nice.
And then it was actually announced this past week that the league is looking to potentially expand up to two teams for the 25-26 season, and that they are listening to all potential expansion, I guess, submissions, because the league owns all the teams. So it's not something where, you know, an owner would come in and be like, oh, I want to buy a team and then bring it to like and expand into here. It's like the league is actually going to expand itself there and still own and operate the team. Honestly, my humble opinion, I think Pittsburgh will be one of those two places that will get expansion. I also think, and this is just me speaking, I think another Canadian city will get a team. To keep it for Canadian teams, for American teams, but they could
Oh
always
yeah.
go with six American teams or five American.
Oh, that would be
Oh,
awesome.
yeah, 5 and 3. It could always go like that as
Oh, that
well.
would be great.
So it will be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, we're literally a year away from that, but it is news because of the fact that they came out and announced that they are looking at two potential expansion teams for the 25-26 season. With that said, The preseason will be taking place November 20th through 22nd, and each team will be playing two games each, and I believe the games are being played in Montreal, and it will be closed to the public. They will not be airing these preseason games. It will be very closed off. We're not going to be able to see it, so we're not going to really going to know what's going to happen at these games for the preseason. However, the season will officially start on Saturday, November 30th, with Boston taking on Toronto and Ottawa taking on Montreal. That's the first day of games, and then you'll have games, the rest of that weekend as well. And then news that came out today on November 1st, the first overall pick of the 2024 PWHL draft, forward Sarah Filliere, has officially signed with the New York Sirens, who drafted her in the draft. So the first overall pick is signed. We have the season schedule out. There's going to be a bunch of neutral site games, I believe, from what I found out from somebody in the league, that each team is going to have three neutral site games. I can't say where some of those locations are that I was told yet. I'm sorry. But it's from a credible source. So we got some more announcements coming down the road in that regards. And yeah, that's the PWHL news and notes for this episode. When we do our next episode, we will do a proper PWHL 2024-25 season review. And
Nice.
maybe an interview. I know
Nice.
you're excited for that one.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's a segment you don't have to do. It's just all me and that
That's
person.
right. That's right. I might just go. I'm gonna, put in a little inflatable dummy here, and I'll just stand while you're doing that, and I'll go.
Exactly. Well, you'll have to ship it to me out here in Maryland so I can do have it there, have it in the
Yeah.
background here, you know.
I'll go out, grab a burger, and you text me when I gotta come back.
Yeah, exactly. So, with that, that was the PWHL news and notes. Just to give you a little primer before we do the official preview later this month for the season. So, Turo,
Yes.
you know what time it is now, right, my friend?
Yeah,
It's
apparently.
that segment you created, the Power Ranger Power Play,
I honestly any
which is
green
funny because you're never in Power Rangers, you know. You're Turtles, you know.
Yeah, I'll have and I want to try and get a little deeper into, because with that whole crossover thing, so
We're gonna make it happen. We're gonna speak it into existence somehow.
yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, and yeah, but anyway, and I always joke that well, I always joke that every great idea starts out as a joke, which this did.
Yeah.
That literally, I was just saying, oh well, I don't know, it's very funny, but
It just
there we are.
worked. It just worked. But yeah, so this past week on Instagram, you posted some pictures and you were talking about spending some time with your beer league hockey team, the Bombers,
TBD Bombers.
TBD
Remember that guy?
Bombers,
Because we were
and
at.
you guys apparently were at the LA Kings home opener,
Yes, we were. Yeah, we
and
were.
you also got to play at Crypto.com Arena
Yeah.
this past week. Why don't you tell everyone about it and how much fun you had? Because I had fun looking at those pictures.
Yeah, it was a pretty fantastic night. I mean, it's always great to be in crypto. In my mind, I'm still thinking Staples, but I'm getting used to it. I still call we call it the crypt a lot, but I kind of go with crypto.com. I think now enough people know it that they know what I'm talking about. But anyway, that being said, that's always a good time. And so yeah, we go and we do this. It comes out to about once a year, but we'll go have a game, and then we just we had the ice, and it's really. I don't know if it's some psychological thing, but man, it's awesome playing there. I don't know if it's because I'm just not used to playing in such a large venue, or just something, the sounds, but the ice actually feels much better too. And I don't know if that's some weird illusion, because
I
maybe
think it's also because you're skating on NHL ice and not some random rinks ice.
like the there's Zambonis are a little better
Yeah.
than
They
Pasadena.
also have crews that they have actual guidelines that they have to adhere
Yeah.
to, per NHL rules.
As opposed to the guy that signs people in, is all right, I'll learn how to drive the Zamboni. But yeah, but I gotta say, it's and again, also I always laugh too. The one another thing too is the benches and the boards are definitely higher. And first time, you do a quick line change. First time. I mean, getting off is not too bad. There's a bit of a leap of faith because you flipped over and you have to jump down, but you land on the ice. But man, I mean, you got to scale the wall to get back. And it's kind of crazy, especially trying to do a quick line change. Like, and it was just very funny. So that's one thing I've noticed. And the benches actually are higher too, but someone told me that that's actually good because your legs are a little more straighter and apparently it's good for circulation. So there's actually a reason. Plus,
Although I learned something about the benches, depending on the arenas that you're in, certain teams and this is like the home team advantage thing, they'll actually have it where like the home team's bench is like the right level for them, where they're nice and comfortable, like how the legs are like more straight. They'll have the players, the bench for the opposing team be like much lower.
Oh, I didn't even
Yeah,
see that.
because it's like that, you want to have that home ice advantage
Oh,
and like and it's that
always.
gamesmanship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not all on the ice. There's other, it takes a lot of savvy, and we go on there and they're just amazing over there at Crypto. It's just a fantastic experience. And it's funny because I did run into one of my buddies there too, who his wife is the I think the doctor for the Kings, so he's always right there. That one shot where that we're right by the boards, yeah. So we were there. So I ran to him. I said, "Dude, are you here?" Because he's there at a lot of games. He goes, "Yes, I am. Where are you right now?" That kind of thing. So that was fun. And later I get this text, right? We're going on skating, and he goes, "Dude, I think I just saw you get an assist." He goes, "Are you number 29?" I go, "Yes, I am." So now I feel like I was seen. So now I feel like he goes, "Man, I just saw you get an assist at crypto.com arena, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's something, right? There's something to take to the bank, right? It's like something." I mean, I actually did get an assist. I got a couple. I'm hoping he saw I got a few. How like two of them were kind of messy, but there's one that was just like, you know what I mean? When you're, it's like you're in on mom's in there's hockey that you play, and there's hockey that's in your imagination that goes back to childhood, right? But then sometimes you just are distracted just enough that you become that, you're in that video game in your mind. And then you say, okay, was that a blind pass and that person just happened to be there? Or did I actually see them out of the corner of my eye? I knew they were coming up. You know what I mean? That weird thing. And then you just know, and I'm hoping that's the one he saw, and you go, and it's just like a perfect pass, and they were really good. So I got to the right guy. I said, "Woof, thank God it was him," and he just took it down, scored. So anyway, so that added to at the end. It was very funny to come out of the locker room later saying, "Dude, I think I just saw you get an assist," and then he was we were laughing about that. And yeah, it's just a it is just a fun night. And and they won handle. It was the Sharks,
I just like that, like it was just the Sharks,
I don't need to tell you, it's a whole different thing when you see it. One thing, tell me if you, this is really weird. I'm trying to think of the differences, but it actually looks smaller. I don't know, or the players look bigger or something. There's some weird thing that the proportion seems very different to me when I see it when I'm there.
So where do you sit? Because that's the big, where were you sitting for the game? Because keep in mind, like when I sit in section 420 row F, and I even sent you a picture
Yeah,
of,
you did. Yeah,
I sent you one, I
great
think
picture.
earlier this week or something like that, of like what my view looks like of the ice.
Oh, it's amazing.
And oh yeah, I love where I sit. Actually, I got to send you a picture of when the player's on the ice, but do like the full shot of like what the view looks like. I got to send it to you with like the players on there. And but like I know like because I've seen the players at practices before, so I know a lot of these things about like when I see Tom Wilson and Ovechkin, like yeah, they're big dudes, they're big dudes. And and I'm always down at the Capitals bench for pregame, so I know that they're big guys. Like Alexei Protas is like 6'4". I know that. Pierre-Luc Dubois is like 6'3", 6'4". And,
That'd be awful.
so when you see these guys who are that big, you go, okay, yeah, these guys are as big as actually advertised. And that's somebody who's been to, who goes to a lot of games. But then when I sit up in my seat in 420, they look smaller. But when I'm not looking at it through the phone or the picture, and you're looking at normal, it's like you see him at their actual size. I mean, granted from above,
Well,
but you
I
see him.
think also
But
too, they
when
also.
you went to that game though, where were you sitting?
I was, I don't know which side that would be. It was behind the net. We're
But
on
were
the.
you like on the glass or were you?
No, we're a little back, so there
Okay, a
was a
little
little bit
back.
of a perspective. Yeah, I
Okay,
didn't
so
see
you
the
were
side.
probably seeing him at real size, most likely, not from like, for me, I'm a little bit more of a distance, so they're going to be a tad bit smaller compared. So you're probably seeing him at like real scale, I guess you could
Yeah, it's just
say.
the proportions are. I mean, it just, and it's also just seeing them real. It's very different from watching them on TV because they just have those same camera angles, right? And you're so used to that bit, but it.
Well, and not only that, but the other thing is that like, when you and I mean, I haven't played ice hockey competitively in like 20 years, but like when you and I put on our pads, we don't see how we look in those pads unless somebody takes a picture of us and we see each other in our, and that's how we see ourselves in our pads. And, so for like you going to, going to the game and then seeing the players come out, you don't see them come in, hang out in their street clothes. I mean, well, I see Dylan Strome in his warm-up gear, like his shorts and his hoodie. 'Cause when I'm at the bench, I see Dylan Strome come out and he'll sit on the bench. He'll just kind of like visualize some things on the ice and everything. And then he'll just tape a stick and then he'll go by, and it's really cool. It's kind of cool seeing Dylan Strome do his like little pregame routine before putting on the gear. And then you see him come out in the gear and it's like he's a little bigger because, that's what the pads do. But like if you're there and you're just seeing him come out on the ice straight strictly in their gear, it could be, I could see how it could be a little, I don't want to use the word jarring because that's probably not the right word, but it gives you a different feel for them because you're
Absolutely.
used to seeing them like you're, because like you're probably more going like, man, I wonder what they look like in their street clothes,
Oh,
in that
yeah.
perspective.
And it's funny too because I'll hear that sometimes too, people who know me and they just see me in pads and I'm thinking I look the same, but they're saying, "Oh my God, you look huge." And that being said, the bench thing also totally makes sense. Like it's actually easier to hop this thing if you're like 6'4", so
Yeah, because
it's
keep in mind the average height of a lot of these guys is like,
they're so
six
big.
feet and up and over.
Oh, they're so
Like the
big.
Capitals, we have like one of the shortest players in the league in Andrew Mangiapane.
How tall is he? How tall is he?
I don't know. I closed down all the stats and
But
everything,
he's
but
under he's under.
he's under 6 foot. He's probably like 5'9", 5'10".
For sure, for
So
sure. So yeah, it's pretty wild. But I gotta say, I mean, I look forward to it. It's one of those things that, I always look forward to it, and it's fun. And one thing that's nice is, God, it's such a great feeling when you've just been skating with people for years. It's funny because I kind of have my crew and I hang out with, I have like a college crowd, I have an acting crowd, whatever. I have all these, whatever.
yeah, have your little clicks.
And I just go with, and so I can't say it's mainly out of time. I don't really hang out per se with these. I mean, obviously we do. That's why I love this game. We get to hang out like during the game and actually hanging with these guys and just eating nachos and stuff like that. I mean, it's a great, having that. You just realize how much you love, skating with these guys, and it's fun. It's such a great game, isn't it? I
Oh
mean,
yeah, I need to get new ice skates. I'd love to get back out on the ice. But I'm happy that I still have my ball hockey program that I run, so it's like I got a great group of guys and gals who come out and play. So it's like at least I'm able to fill that void for myself, because I'm not competitively playing all the time. I'm only competitively playing at certain points.
Yeah, I mean,
You
competitive. I
know.
mean, it's all relative too, because I mean, I'm looking forward to, this was a scrimmage, right? That we'd had,
Yeah.
but we're gonna have an actual game, and and playoff implications, all this stuff, and that to me is like, now I kind of feel like, I don't know, like it could be one of those things where I'm all jazz, and I show up and I suck like I always do. You know what I mean? Like you go, no, I still suck. But somehow it just. That's the dream, right? The
Yeah, I
dream
mean,
before the goal,
I would love, it's funny, I saw your Instagram post and and see the pictures of you on the ice and everything, and it's like, and you mentioned like that fantasy, that childhood fantasy, the video game, and it's like, and I was actually out on my walk today during lunch, and I was kind of having those little fantasies in my head of like me on the Capital One Arena ice, and just because it's like I would do anything for a moment to just be able to play ice hockey on that
Well,
sheet of
it is.
ice.
It's hard to describe. It's really, and I think it's just so funny. My buddy, saw me get like that, and I said, "We're it's silly, right?" At the end of the day, it's silly. But I sort of think now I was trying, been trying how to figure out how to word it. It just feels a little more real now. Like it really did happen. Like it. You're kind of in these bubble. Especially when you're ice. I mean, you're really just trying to make a play or score a goal. I mean, or whatever, or just whatever. Not do a stupid play in my case. So you're kind of caught in that. I remember it's interesting looking. We had man, I can't remember this. There's a I didn't pe realize people were taking pictures. A couple of those pictures were really good. Like, man,
Oh,
those
I
are
love the picture of just your hair flowing in the background. Like, oh, I'm like, dude, this is so great. I love
And
it.
there's even that one where I'm in the boards, and I remember like it was, and I looked at that face, and it's sort of like, as an actor, you're always trying to catch that look of intensity, and it wasn't even like force or anything. It's like,
You're just in that moment.
yeah, that you then you're a hockey player. It's it and it's funny because I don't remember that moment. That the ones that you just don't remember. I was shocked. I didn't realize there was like an actual good pro photographer there. And I was looking at these pictures it was amazing. I don't know. Sometimes it looks like some of those pictures they were on the ice. I don't think so. I guess they're on the bench. I don't know. I don't know much anything about
Yeah,
sports photography, but
but I gotta ask this one question. You get this opportunity to play at crypto.com arena. You're doing it after an actual Kings game. How much interaction now? I know with the players and maybe the actual staff, like the coaches and stuff like that, there's probably not much interaction with them.
I
But
mean.
how much interaction do you have with the organization in general when it comes to doing something like
Oh
that at
no! I gotta say they were amazing, and I was thanking them as I was laying. Thank you, just letting these grown men play, because it was well. Actually, shouldn't say there's an amazing female hockey player in there. Grown adults play, but yeah, they agree. There's this whole thing, and it, we're paying money for it, so. But they bring us down, and it's kind of fun, and we do walk through the tunnel, right? That's kind of cool,
So you walk through the tunnel, the same one that the Kings come out of?
We must, right? It's the one that it's kind of on the corner. I was
I don't know. I've never been there.
okay, yeah. I'm trying to think. I'd have to pay attention. A lot of times I get there last minute. I don't see the beginning of the game, but I'm pretty sure I should watch because I was like look up when they start playing, but I should see where they're coming out like during the period. I'm pretty sure there's only. I mean, how else can you come out? I mean, unless you're coming from. Oh, it's a little different though. I'll let you know next time,
Yeah.
but
That
there's
that's your
definitely you
homework
definitely come
assignment.
out. You definitely come out through a tunnel, put it that way,
Yeah.
and they're just guiding you through the really, at the end, like you realize that they're, it's like you went to a nice restaurant or something. I mean, maybe not that fancy, but you feel like okay, they were part of their business or they're where they're, like so it's sort of like they have and they have oh yeah, you show up, right? I got there a little late. Guy comes up, takes your bag, like I'm just, I was running a little late and I met the person outside and they're kind of expecting you and they're saying, oh yeah, I'll let me go in. He actually just went in and the guy comes out, grabs my bag and just really cordial and it's sort of like, wow, this is amazing. You know what I mean? And then you're there and it's a pretty hard stop after, they give you an hour in the ice and it's a hard stop. So it's not like that's the one thing that's nice when you're kind of in beer. Like obviously the guys working at the rink, so they kind of get mad because like, dude, we want to go home, but it's not, but there it's sort of like, no, you guys are done, And so but it, just everything, but they're nice, they're nice, there's usually one liaison that's like in a suit and the rest of the guys are in there, the jackets that are helping out and cordial, and it was great. Now, that being said, at the end of the night, I'm sure they're very anxious to get out, so
Yeah,
they're
that's why
not
they have the
stopping.
hard stop. It's like
Yeah, yeah.
we're going home whether you like it or not,
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and but the less, they don't, it's it was a great, it was a, it was a, it's a, it's a, it's a really wonderful experience. If you somehow can get a group of people to do that, I would definitely recommend it. It's not horribly expensive. It's not cheap, but
Well, I
it's
mean, it
not.
also depends on, the team itself too. Like, I don't know what it would be for the Washington Capitals because I'm not currently active as an ice hockey player.
Right.
It's not something I would broach right now anyways, just because I'm not active. I still need a new pair of ice skates. I need some new hockey pants. I need a new pair of gloves,
Yeah.
type of deal. Like, I know what I need to get before I can maybe be active on the ice again a little bit.
Yeah, it ain't cheap, huh?
No.
I mean, it's like shocking, right? But yeah, I would recommend it. I mean, to me it's sort of like it's funny, life's funny, right? But there's sometimes you have an evening and that being said, I still part of be an actual game. There's something kind of cooler about that on a certain level. Do you know what I mean? Like there's something
Yeah.
about like, but as an experience, and it's nicer too because you're not in a game, so you're a little, there are a couple things I wanted to try and I didn't because I want to be, I kind of, I'm definitely a role player. I mean, and I don't necessarily do that particularly well, but but this whole thing, but I'm, I just thought, you know what, in this case, I mean, we're not really keeping score, and I mean, goals are goals. I mean, people want to score, like it's
Oh
real,
yeah.
and people want to say, I mean, it's hockey
You
players are
get me
hockey
on that
players.
ice. I'm scoring goals. I don't care.
Oh
I will
yeah, and the
find
hockey
I
player,
will be the most selfish player on that ice. I will
oh
find
yeah,
ways
and
to
then the
score.
goalies want to stop. I mean, it's real. I mean, no one's getting mad like they do during games. You know what I mean? No one,
Yeah.
like there's none of that. And obviously the refs aren't there calling penalties and stuff like that, so it's different that way, but people are there to play. But one of the things I kept on thinking is that, you know what, one thing I got to work on is just taking it way up the ice, take, just taking all the way and just,
And
offensive zone
go
entry
end to end.
and take it all the way to the cage, right? I'm thinking, I see. That's the stuff I see, and who's gonna stop me? I mean, no one's gonna. I mean, maybe. I mean, obviously, I'll probably be checked and pushed out of the way, but I could actually go for it, and it's not gonna be like, I don't know, but I didn't do that. I kept on saying, okay, I got to make the right plays because I know my skill level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, so I know what I can do to help the team win, but I'm thinking, why am I doing this tonight? So the end of the night went, I didn't do that. I should
Yeah,
just like take it all the up and all the way to the cage. Why don't I do that? So next year.
it's funny you say that. It's like yourself as a player, and it's actually funny. It's like, because I've been playing ball hockey for over a decade now,
No.
and probably 15 or maybe a little over 15 years now at that rate,
Amazing.
at this rate.
Yeah.
I know myself as a player in ball hockey. In ball hockey, I'm either a first pairing defenseman or I'm a first or second line point producer for my teams. But me now as an ice hockey player, I don't know what my identity is anymore as a player because the last time I played competitively was literally December of 2004.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, when I say 20 years, I
Yeah,
literally
you
mean 20. Like,
lived 20.
my thing was so shocking that you knocked your microphone.
I know, right? It's like,
D
phew,
didn't even
right?
hear it, but I saw it,
I wish I had was holding some water. I could have done the spit take.
Yeah, but
We'll be
like
ready. I'll be ready for the spit take later.
but yeah, but the thing is though, it's when I say it's been 20 years since I played competitively in ice hockey, I really mean it.
Yeah.
And so, like, because I've
And
done,
have you been on the ice though? Have you
yes, I
been?
have been on the ice. I have done stick and shoot sessions. I've played some pickup games here or
Oh,
there.
you're doing pickup games at least
Yeah,
now.
but my skates have gotten to the point where, because they're the same skates I've had since I was 14, and I'm
Oh, okay.
38 now, so that's 24 years I've had them.
What are you skating on?
I'm skating in 2000. They're from the year 2000, and they're Bauer Supremes.
Bauer Supremes. Awesome.
And
Awesome.
but they're the old version with wood toes.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll take a picture of them and I'll send them to you. And
Sweet.
I'll even do a video because like you can literally just knock on the toes and you can hear like the knocking of wood. I went to my buddy Mitch who runs Replay Sports in Rockville, Maryland, and I remember he was sharpening my skates one time for me, and he goes, "You do realize when you finally get new skates, I can't sell these because it would be like a trade-in type of thing. Like I wouldn't even be able to accept these because I can't sell skates with wood toes anymore."
Well, it could be like a museum piece.
Yeah, exactly. And but yeah, so like, but it's gotten to the point where also because my feet have grown, they don't fit in the boot comfortably anymore. And that's the other part of the problem for me.
But
So that's why I need new ice skates like before I can even think about hitting the ice again anytime soon.
and it's an investment. You can get decent skates for, norm, skates are like 800, whatever, but you
Yeah.
can get decent skates for like 250,
Dude, I
300.
think I got my ice skates. I think I got my ice skates from like Sports Authority or Modell's.
Oh
Like,
yeah. Oh, you do
yeah.
like they do have the plate against Sam's or
No,
plate
we
against
don't. No.
sports, plate against
Played against
sports.
sports, like I don't
Yeah.
think they really exist that much anymore out here on the East
Okay. No,
Coast. Like I think there might be one up in Frederick, Maryland, but that's like maybe
Oh,
like
they're
20, 30
alive and
minutes
well
away
down
from
there.
me.
Yeah, they're alive
Yeah.
and well. So you can get stuff from
Well, I
them.
mean,
They have
I would go to Replay
sideline swap.
Sports. I mean,
Sideline
oh
swap.
yeah, I've heard of Sideline Swap, but I would probably go to Mitch at Replay Sports. I'm supporting a small business,
Right.
and I know he'll help me out. All the way from like the resizing of my feet for the skate and finding the right
And
skates for
you,
me.
as I was saying, you don't have to spend $800. You can do, $300. And
I
let me
could
say,
probably get skates from Replay for probably about 100.
yeah, $100. You can definitely get something that's good. And what's interesting is that they're a lot more like ski boots now. So it's kind of weird, but they're a little lower profile, so you can. But it's weird because they don't break in like the old skates used to. You know what I mean? They're plastic shells, and they're like ski boots, and it's weird, So
Yeah, but we could talk about equipment all we want. Maybe
yeah, that's right.
that's the thing we do next time. We'll just talk about equipment and just
Gotta
like,
yeah, the equipment,
our favorite
skates,
style of gloves and everything.
anyway.
But we're near the end. So with that, where can everyone find you on social media?
At the I'm gonna say Instagram's the best. I mean, I throw up stuff on Facebook, but I'd say Instagram as far as like announcements that, shows that I'm doing or whatever, I usually
Amazing hockey pictures.
and the occasional amazing hockey pictures. It takes a great photographer to make me look good on the ice. But that's at my full name, Thoroumasamune. And so anything shows I'm doing, I'm doing a little singing diddly thing. I'm actually rehearsing for a musical right now. Isn't that crazy?
Oh wow, that's awesome.
And I'm not I'm a I'm a singer. And actually the director was saying, "Wow, I'm really interested in you for this role." He goes, "Can you sing?" And I go, "Well, I like to sing." And I said, "Now, whether I sing well, that's, I suppose, a matter of opinion." I said, "I suppose it depends on the song," but he hired me anyway. And now I get into it. I'm thinking, all right, great. And they even said at the beginning, "We're going to listen to your voices. It's a new musical. We'll listen to your voices, and then we'll put you appropriately something great. I'll just be in the chorus and I'll mouth the words or whatever, right?" I'm thinking that's what I'll be in. I'm good. I'm playing the drunk uncle, so it's kind of perfect for me. So it's a lot of
Yeah.
fun. But that being said, we started like I got like one of those, when you're talking and then you break into a song and you
Yeah.
lead the song, and I get like for a whole verse.
So
I
what you're
mean,
saying is that we're going to be doing the more phenomenal hockey show, the musical, at one point.
the
You know,
musical. I'm now getting.
I don't know if we can make that happen. I don't think people want to hear
Well,
me sing,
I'm
but
going to talk to this composer. He's an amazing composer. So I'm going to find him and I'm going to say, you know what? We need a, you know, we need a musical version of this podcast. Oh, wouldn't that be great? And we bring the song.
that would be funny. That would be hilarious. But while we ponder that,
Yes.
ladies and gentlemen, you can find the more phenomenal hockey show on txhthockey.com. And I actually just tonight I rebranded the Facebook page, so all social media is now officially TXHT Hockey. That's it. That's just look up TXHT Hockey. You're good to go. TXHT underscore hockey on Instagram, Threads. I think Facebook doesn't have the underscore, but Twitter also does have the underscore, because somebody else took the underscore in between TXHT and hockey somehow. Whatever. But yeah, that's where you can find it. Go to txhthockey.com as always for this podcast. All the other projects that I do, like my Power Rangers podcast, Voices from the Grid, we just started releasing our Turbo season. That will be every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern time. And every other Monday, and we have the next chapter coming out this Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So close. The story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals, Chapter 3 is coming out. Please check it out. I apologize for the 20 to 30 minute reads, but it is worth it for the story that is being told through these chapters. And for everyone who has given me a lot of praise for what I've done so far with the first two chapters, thank you very much. It is greatly appreciated, and I hope you do continue to read and like the future stuff as well. So with that, and you can just find me at the Lindenbaum75 on all social media as well. Lindenbaum, LindenBaum. So with that, until next time, we will see you on the ice.